Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Noura. Right, so this morning's edition has a headline that probably made a few people wince. Your AI agent just cost you 500 quid while you slept. And the scary bit? You wouldn't even know until Monday morning. Let me paint you a picture. You've built an AI agent. It handles customer support tickets. It calls GPT-4 for each one. By Friday evening, costs look reasonable. Maybe £8 a day. Nothing alarming. But then, a bug in the deduplication logic turns your agent into a loop machine. It starts reprocessing the same tickets 50 times an hour. By Saturday morning, that £8 budget has become £360. By Monday, £487. Your monitoring tools show a line going up. But here's the thing. They don't show which agent caused it. They don't show when it started. And they definitely don't show you how to stop it. This isn't a hypothetical. This scenario plays out across production AI systems every single week. The problem isn't the technology. It's that standard monitoring tools treat LLM costs as invisible overhead. OpenAI gives you total spend, not per agent, not per task, not in real time. Cloud platforms track CPU and memory, not tokens. By the time a billing alert fires at 500 quid, the damage is already done. So, what's the fix? Honestly, it's not complicated. Treat cost like any other metric in your system health checks. Report it alongside performance data. Set real budget limits that actually pause agents when thresholds hit, not alerts that arrive after the money is spent. Track cost per model, per task, per hour. This shifts the conversation from, how much did that outage cost, to, how much should this task cost, and why did it exceed that? The alternative is building it yourself. Custom token counters on every LLM call, Prometheus metrics, Grafana dashboards, alerting rules, and the logic to actually stop agents when budgets run dry. That's weeks of work that isn't your product, or report cost in the heartbeat your agents already send, set a policy, and move on. The takeaway? If you're running AI agents in production, cost visibility isn't optional anymore. It's infrastructure, worth thinking about before your next deploy, right? Okay, so completely different corner of the tech world now, but stay with me. If you're running production databases, there are 7 PostgreSQL extensions that deserve your attention this year. And honestly, if you're still treating PostgreSQL as just a relational database, you're missing the point. Let's start with PGVector. It adds vector similarity search directly in PostgreSQL. No separate infrastructure for embeddings. No syncing data between systems. You can store, index, and query vectors right where your data already lives. If you're building anything that touches AI, search, recommendations, semantic matching, this one's a significant development. TimescaleDB handles time series data at scale, automatic partitioning, 90% compression. If you're tracking metrics, logs, or IoT sensor data, this turns PostgreSQL into a purpose-built time series database without the complexity of managing a separate system. PostGIS is the gold standard for geospatial data, location-based queries, spatial indexes, route planning. If your app cares about where things are in the physical world, PostGIS does it all. Then there's PG_cron, scheduled jobs, inside PostgreSQL. No external cron daemon, no separate orchestration layer, just school-based task scheduling that runs where your data lives. PG_stat_statements gives you query performance insights. Which queries are slow? Which ones run most often? It's basically your built-in query profiler. If you're not using this, you're flying blind on database performance. PG_partman automates table partitioning. If you're dealing with large datasets that grow over time, this handles the partition management for you. Create, maintain, and drop partitions automatically based on your rules. And Citus turns PostgreSQL into a distributed database. Horizontal scaling across multiple nodes. If you're hitting the limits of vertical scaling, Citus gives you a path forward without abandoning PostgreSQL. Here's what I keep coming back to. Each of these extensions solves a problem you'd otherwise solve by adding another database to your stack. Vector search? Usually that's Pinecone or Weaviate. Time series, InfluxDB or Prometheus. Geospatial, maybe MongoDB with geoindexes. Scheduled jobs, Airflow or a custom cron setup. But every new database means new connections, new syncing, new failure modes, and new operational overhead. These extensions let you consolidate. One database, one connection pool, one backup strategy. The thing is, simplicity scales better than complexity. And right now, PostgreSQL with the right extensions is the simplest way to handle genuinely complex workloads. Something to think about if you're designing data architecture this quarter. Right, let me lighten things up a bit. MIT researchers just developed something called SeedSet. It's a framework to test AI systems for fairness and ethical alignment before deployment. Now, I know ethics in AI gets eye rolls sometimes, it can feel abstract. But this is actually practical. The idea is simple. Use LLMs as proxies for human evaluation across multiple stakeholder perspectives. So instead of deploying a system and hoping it's fair, you test it against different viewpoints up front. Does it treat users equally? Does it respect privacy? Does it align with the values of the people it serves? What stands out to me is the word before. Most ethical evaluation happens after something goes wrong, after the bias shows up in production, after the PR disaster. This framework flips that. It makes ethics part of the design process, not an afterthought. And honestly, that's how it should be. If you're building systems that make decisions about people, fairness isn't a nice to have, it's foundational. The framework uses LLMs because they can simulate diverse perspectives at scale. You can't interview 1,000 stakeholders for every product decision, but you can model their concerns and test your system against them. Is it perfect? No. LLMs have their own biases, but it's a start, and it's better than deploying blind. The big picture? Ethics in AI is moving from philosophy papers to engineering toolkits. That's progress. Okay. Last one for today, and this is a web development thing, but it matters more than you'd think. Let's talk about DeepSource versus ESLint. Now, on the surface, these look like competitors. Both analyze code, both catch issues. But here's the thing, they're not competing, they're complementary, and understanding the difference matters if you're serious about code quality. ESLint catches issues in real-time editing. You type something dodgy, ESLint underlines it in red. Immediate feedback, local to your machine. Fast. It's brilliant for style consistency and catching obvious mistakes as you write. DeepSource applies deep PR-level analysis. It runs when you open a pull request. It looks at the entire change set. It uses AI-powered fixes. And it works across languages, not just JavaScript. So ESLint is your spell checker. DeepSource is your editor. One catches typos as you type. The other reviews your finished draft and suggests structural improvements. The mistake teams make is thinking they need to choose one. You don't. You need both. ESLint in your editor for fast feedback, DeepSource in your CI pipeline for deep analysis before merge. Here's why that matters. ESLint can tell you that you forgot a semicolon. DeepSource can tell you that your function has a subtle security vulnerability that only shows up under specific conditions. Different tools, different jobs. The takeaway? Code quality isn't one thing, it's a spectrum. Fast feedback for small issues, deep analysis for complex ones. Use the right tool for each layer. If you're setting up a new project this quarter, or rethinking your CI pipeline, this is worth getting right from the start. So, stepping back from all of that, here's what I keep coming back to. Cost visibility in AI systems, database consolidation with PostgreSQL, ethics as engineering practice, and layered code quality tools, they're all about the same thing, really, making the invisible visible, whether it's runaway costs, scattered data, hidden bias, or subtle bugs. The systems that win are the ones that surface problems before they become disasters. Something to think about on the commute home. That's your Luma Digest. Thanks for listening. Links in the show notes.